Hey, it's Mae Whitman, and I play Frankie in the new Realm podcast, The Sisters. The Sisters is about a museum curator of medical oddities who investigates the origins of a mutated skeleton with two layers of bones. Soon, she uncovers an extraordinary mystery that connects her present with one family's tragic past in hauntingly dangerous ways. Listen to The Sisters wherever you get your podcasts.
IGN Gamescoop.
You know who else I love?
You, the viewer slash listener. What's up, everybody? Welcome to IGN Gamescoop. I'm your host, Damon Hatfield. Joining me this week, Justin Davis,
Scoop.
Jared Petty,
Scoop.
Brennan Tyrell is
Scoop.
Here. We've got a great show for you this week. We're going to talk a little bit about The Last Guardian. We're going to talk about more about the Nintendo NX.
Yes. Ooh.
But first, the Electronic Entertainment Expo.
E3, they call it.
2016 edition.
Jinx.
In the books.
You just can't talk the rest of the episode.
It's over a week old now.
Yeah.
Hopefully it's not too old to talk about it still. Because immediately after the show, I bounced down to Los Cabos.
Oh.
In El Mexico. For a little R&R.
A little siesta. Mm-hmm.
And now I feel ready to scoop.
Yeah. So angry.
Ready to wrap up that E3 business.
You got this nice tan now.
I don't really tan. I got really sunburned.
Yeah.
And I got kind of pink.
Are you peeling?
You're a little ruddier.
My shoulders are peeling.
You have certain rakish ruddiness about you.
Rakish. Ruddiness.
Yeah. Mm.
I like that alliteration.
Thank you.
E3 this year. What do we think about it? How was the show this year? What are your general thoughts, your high level takeaway from E3 2016?
I liked it.
Liked it. Thumbs up?
Yeah. I have no elaboration.
Justin Davis liked it.
Yeah.
I liked it. It was fun because we got new video games announced, and that's exciting. It's always really cool to be in the IGN war room and hear people screaming as a Star Wars game is revealed, or
hooting and
hollering and excited. And when they you get the Death Stranding teaser popping out, and there's Norman Reedus, and you're all just like, it's happening. No. Very exciting. It was odd being on the floor this year. It was kind of quiet, not having Activision or EA there. There was a lot more empty space in some of the halls, and it felt a little ghostly and strange compared to years past.
But most people don't actually visit the halls.
Yes,
they watch
exactly.
The press conferences. They see all the game announcements, and I think from that perspective...
From the presentation of information, we were... introduced to many new and exciting developments in the world of video gaming that made me feel good. Like Justin Davis, I say, thumbs up.
One thumb, sort of up.
Oh, no, I think
you liked it? You were way up?
No, it's good. There was a lot of great stuff shown. I mean, a lot of it leaked, so, but that's sort of like peeking at your presents before Christmas, so that doesn't mean the games aren't coming. We do have a lot of stuff way out there. I'm sure we'll talk about this later, but a lot of stuff's like, oh, wait a minute, that game sure looks cool, and in 3 years I'll be playing it. Mm-hmm. But I don't care. For me, E3 is when I truly... drink the nectar of hype and let it fill my soul.
Let us drink from the nectar of hype.
Yeah. Well, I didn't get any nectar of hype, but I liked it. It was good.
Everyone liked it.
It was good. It's fun. Look,
that's been GameScoop.
it's hard to sit here and be like, well, E3 sucks. It doesn't suck. E3 is amazing, but it's also a lot of work, and it's also very tiring. But
once again, it's not work for most people.
Yeah, exactly.
That's my personal experience as well. Is I'm so torn between like, there's a new Spider-Man game coming, and Norman Reedus is here, and Zelda looks so incredible, and then I was finally in my expense report, and I saw that my cabs back to my hotel were like midnight or later every night, and I'm like, you work really, really hard at E3. Yeah. Like, that's what I have to balance out for me personally, but for the video game industry, for what was announced, I thought it was awesome. I thought it was great.
It was a good show. Like, every press conference, and I know we'll talk about this a little bit later, but every press conference had something I'm genuinely excited about, So there was something from every angle coming at us that is going to make video gaming for another year really cool.
Yeah.
It's very hard for me to separate the experience of going to the show from appreciating the show now because E3 marks my kind of anniversary in this job. That's really where I came in as a community member originally, going to my first E3 with IGN, and it was sort of springboarded my start here. So it's a time, it's very reflective for me. I always kind of, E3s are kind of like New Year's. I end up looking back and thinking
what
about...
What was your E3 resolution?
My E3 resolution this year was to get more sleep and work no more than 16 hours in a single day during the show.
Did you make it?
I did manage to do it, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Even Monday?
Even Monday, I only worked 16 hours.
That Monday of E3.
Yeah.
That's a day.
I went from 8 to about midnight.
To work in video game media. Yeah, I just think from the games that are on display, both the games that were playable at the show and the games that were announced, even if they're years off, I just think that lineup of games was incredible. One of the strongest lineups of, in E3 history.
They do. It's interesting to see the different philosophies of the conference. So mm-hmm. undoubtedly, the Sony conference generated the most hype. They're like, blam, here's God of War, here's Death Stranding, here's this, here's Kojima, and Crash is coming back, and like it bombards you with all this stuff, and there's an orchestra, but then they don't give you a chance to like think.
Yeah, it was like an hour-long sizzle reel.
Afterwards, it's like you're hypnotized, and afterwards the scales fall from your eyes, and you're like, well, wait a second. When is that Spider-Man game coming out?
Yeah.
Years from now? Like, wait a second. Did we see anything from the Crash games? Like, the way that that conference was set up is just hype, 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 hype. But, like, they didn't, they were very thin and light on, like, actual details.
I was going to save this topic for later in the show. But it's okay. We can jump there now. We actually have an email from one of our listeners / viewers, Brian in Jaffrey, New Hampshire. Mm. And he writes in just about what you're seeing. He says,
Prince Jaffrey.
I'm an agnostic gamer. Lover of every system, so naturally I gravitate towards E3 to anxiously hear what awaits us in the coming year.
Yeah.
And while everyone came in with guns blazing, it appears the hype train is predominantly focused around Sony's conference.
Choo-choo.
Many of your own at IGN going so far as to call it the best conference ever.
Mm-hmm.
The problem is,
I don't agree with that.
As a PS4 owner and lover, I saw it as the exact opposite. Now that we're a week removed from the E3 buzz, I feel better knowing I'm not alone on this island. Now don't get me wrong. Sony delivered on showing game after game after game, but they continue to repeat mistakes they made in the last generation of hyping a CG trailer for a project 2 to 3 years out.
Yeah.
It's reasonable to get excited about Final Fantasy VII Remake or God of War, but if these titles won't be seen until 2018, was it really worth it? Believe me, I love Kojima as much as the next guy, but given he's yet to actually start his project and his less than glamorous track record, is it unreasonable to say 2019 or 2020 is when we'll be playing Death Stranded? Mm-hmm. In the end, only one new announcement came with a release date, Resident Evil 7, and The Last Guardian finally got its date unveiled. But other than Horizon Zero Dawn, which we knew about its 2017 delay prior to E3, nothing on display during E3's show had a date or even a release window.
Yeah, so, for sure. There was definitely some smoke and mirrors and theatricality to what Sony was showing off.
Brian thinks this is a problem. I'm not sure this is a problem.
Hmm. Well, yeah, I'm wondering about that too. What do you think of there, Damon?
I mean, yeah, so they're announcing games, many of which are years out. It's not like we don't have anything to play in the meantime.
Mm-hmm. Like, I mean, it's not nothing that they dated The Last Guardian. Like, I kind of glossed over it. Like, that's a big deal. Like, that game is coming in really super soon. Like, I don't know what your expectations were. It's sooner than I expected it. Mm-hmm. So we're going to have, you know, we have No Man's Sky. Not that many months later, we have Last Guardian. And then they have GT Sport coming. And then I'm sure they would have rather had Horizon for Q4, but that's coming in February. So.
Yeah. And that doesn't even count Resident Evil 7 in January.
Sure, yeah.
Third party base.
And I want to go back to the theatricality, because I do think the criticisms that are levied there about the game's library are valid, but at E3, their job is to take an hour of time and get us excited about what they're doing, and I think they did the best possible job they could of that. I mean, what would we have changed? Yes, we all want to see more games, but given the catalog they had, I think they presented it in a way that was compelling and energizing and optimistic and hopeful, and I'd have much rather seen that than fewer presentations with old dudes talking to me about the few games that are coming out that just bored me to tears and made me wish that I was someplace else doing something else. I think that given the choice of the kind of presentation, of the constraints that they're within, they did about as well as anybody could have. And that's why I was so impressed by it. It was so well planned and executed. Yes, we all want more games, but with the games they had, I don't think they could have done much better than they did.
Well, yeah, and I think why I was so impressed is that it's almost unheard of for there to be no downtime during an E3 press conference. Oftentimes they'll start really strong, and then they'll bring out an executive who wants to talk some numbers and like, this is how many, this
they'll
is how Vita's doing, this is what we're selling in the UK, and it's just like, bring out Pele.
Bunch of eagles flying around for
no reason. Yeah, like, God. Okay.
Maybe
a
little Jimmy Kennedy.
But like, the E3 press conference, was just like steady whole way. It kept my interest the entire way through.
It was also worth saying that was the peak of IGN's traffic.
Yeah. Oh, was it? It's, well, that makes sense.
It's like
it
that
builds.
Usually.
Yeah, it builds
throughout the day. And
at least this generation, Sony's sort of been the marquee conference.
Yeah.
But they came right out of the gate and just spiked and then maintained that all the way through, which is, I think, why we think back at the conference and you know, we have that sort of emotion tied to it where it was just really exciting. In the beginning, I was actually kind of in the other camp. I was disappointed that all of the things that we saw, most of it isn't going to be playable this year, right? Mm-hmm. conversely, Microsoft's, right? They have several titles that they announce, like, and, you know, this holiday and this fall and all that. But listening to you talk about it, if the goal of the conference is to give you a snapshot, like sort of a vertical slice of what they're doing at their studio, you know, for the next whatever how many years, I think Sony probably pulled out the best they could have done.
Yeah.
Also, who plans their conferences? They're just fantastic.
Yeah, they're brilliant. Those guys and the people who do the Bethesda conference, I think, are really good too.
More orchestras.
Yeah.
More orchestras.
The guys that handle the Microsoft conference are the guys that handle the Oscars.
Interesting.
Wow.
Interesting. Which is strange because they like had a steady build up until the Scorpio like you know mic drop moment.
Yeah, mm-hmm. That's true. Yeah, yeah. No, I'm not sold that it's a problem. I don't necessarily think the E3 press conference. The point of it is to announce what you're going to be playing this fall. I think it's for one thing, it's cool to get people excited about the console that they own for years to come. Right. Yeah. They know there are games coming down the pipeline 5 years from now that I'm going to be playing on my PS4. Well, that's exciting. Yeah.
The Last Guardian, like they milked, like they got a lot of interest out of that for a long time.
Yeah. And so Microsoft does have, they did show off games that are coming this fall. ReCore, Gears of War 4,
Dead Rising 4.
Gears of War looks so good.
Is Dead Rising 4 already dated for this fall?
It's holiday, yeah.
But like, they had a really strong holiday lineup last year. Mm-hmm. Microsoft even went so far as to call it the strongest, games lineup in Xbox history.
Yeah.
But it's still trailing in sales. That console's still trailing behind the PS4.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's because Sony has press conferences like that.
Yeah.
Sony also is great at controlling the message, and it's a lesson they learned for this console generation.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's also worth pointing out that the third-party conferences, until not that many years ago, first parties have always been fun and flashy, but like, man, 3-4 years ago, the EA conference, the Ubisoft conference would just be cringeworthy.
Oh,
you'd either skip them entirely, or if you were forced to watch them, they were just bad and boring and long. And so it's like they've still come a long, long way. These companies don't. People think about EA as just having unlimited money and resources, mm-hmm. but like it's hugely expensive and hugely time-consuming to like plan a press conference. Yep. So to like, and they did the two stage thing in London and in LA. And like, I just can't imagine like how many people's weeks and weeks worth of time to plan that out. So it's like, you know,
what
you're watching is millions of dollars.
How many months does it take for us to plan our stuff? You know, it's a tenth of the scale of their thing.
Yeah.
So,
I mean, every episode of GameScoop, hundreds of hours of production time going into it.
It's really a full-time job.
Camera, there's just dozens and dozens of people working away.
Yeah.
After the camera goes off, it's just standing ovations all around. We did it again, guys.
All right, well, that brings us to our next topic, which, going into E3, there's all this talk, how relevant is E3 these days? Big publishers are pulling out, E3, Activision.
EA.
Oh, sorry, EA, Activision. Now having come through on the other side, how are you guys feeling about E3's relevancy?
Yeah, I mean, I think E3 is probably going to have to become more like a Gamescom or a Tokyo Game Show. I think it'll be a press show or an industry show for a few days, and they're going to probably have public days on the end of the show. So if like,
well, so they had their E3 live outside the convention.
I think
this
that was
year.
A test. I think that was apparently dipping their toe in the water.
It was kind of a disaster.
I heard it didn't go well. I mean, we're all super busy at the show. Like, I didn't have time to actually go buy it, but I didn't hear great things about it.
Yeah.
EA Play went smoothly. I don't know about
EA
E3
Play
live,
is a different story. That apparently went very well, very well, and does not bode well for EA coming back into E3. So they had their own separate thing. They had still a press conference, but they had their separate event outside of E3. And Games Industry ran a study on publishers and game titles that got the most press coverage at E3, and the game that got the most media coverage this year was Battlefield 1. And then the publisher that got the most write-ups was EA. Mm-hmm. So it's like, well,
even why? Even though they weren't technically at E3, they were next door.
Yeah, the argument for a long time has been that E3 was this massive center of gravity that drew major news outlets for a few days a year to remind the universe that doesn't normally pay attention to all of this. Hey, by the way, here's video games, and a few months from now when you're buying presents for your kids or for, you know,
yeah, it's the one time of year that when my mom's watching the news, it's like the annual video game conference is taking place in Los Angeles.
It's the exact kind of thing. And that is, you know, we live in a different world than that, but that's very important for a lot of people.
It's the injection of our culture into mainstream for like a weekend.
Whenever it's on the evening news, by the way, I get a text from my dad that says, they were talking about E3 on the news. I looked for you in the background.
I looked for you on the E3.
And I say, well, Dad, there were 70,000 people at the show. Yeah. So.
And we laugh. Again, that has enormous monetary value. The question was, if you split it out a little more, would it still have that gravity? Would it still have that pull? They're going to keep stretching this until they can't do it. This isn't the first time this is unraveled. I mean, there was E for All also, which was...
But that wasn't the ESA.
Yeah, that's. But it was a situation
Remind
that has...
Remind us what E for All was.
That was a situation where suddenly everybody just went to different hotels.
You're conflating two separate things.
Am I conflating
things?
Two separate things?
Okay, so help me. E for All was either Future, IDG, or some publisher. Yeah. Trying to make a public version of E3,
right?
In like what year
they came out? It was those same years, and then the ESA had they scaled back E3. It wasn't called E3 anymore.
Right.
It was called like the Electronic Entertainment Business Expo, and it was a tiny, tiny little show that went from 70,000 people attending to like 10,000, and that was spread out.
But those were the same year in the same place, right?
Oh, maybe the publisher, thought there was an opportunity to step in and fill that void.
I remember that year
because
it was all in one time in hall, and you could literally just like walk through a couple rows and see every game that was there at E3.
But a lot of the demos were scattered out around town, apparently, so people had to taxi around from hotel to hotel.
So, like you're saying, there has been some like reshuffling of cards, of E3 cards.
Yeah, so we'll see. I mean, I don't know.
The way that I actually interviewed, it hasn't published on IGN yet, but I interviewed some EA executives about this topic, about EA Play and how it was going and why they did this. And I asked about Gamescom. I said, look, from my perspective as, you know, a journalist, like Gamescom, it's so big, and since it's open to the public, it's just impossible to work.
And loud and stinky.
Like, I can't get work done when there's 100,000 people there. It's just, it's hard. And you know, his response was, that show is big enough that in the continent of Europe, it can move the needle on public opinion of a video game in Europe. That's how big and important Gamescom is. And E3 is sort of like that on the internet and for places like IGN, but not... Like, not for people, you know, not enough people get FaceTime with these games.
That's true.
So my expectation would be that E3 will be a day or two longer, and they'll open it up to the public and get, you know, several tens of thousands of more people involved.
Yeah,
I guess.
I imagine that's probably where they're headed, and it sort of lines up with how the marketing is going now, too, right?
Yeah.
You see a lot of people who, you know, have their own branding and their own channels on the internet, whether it be YouTube and Twitch and all that, and publishers are actually courting them a lot more than they used to. So like opening it up to the public, letting actual consumers get in there, and other people, like Jared said, it used to be like this weekend where news outlets went and they stocked up on all their video game information and then they doled it out throughout the year. And now it's just sort of like everybody who has a camcorder or a handycam or whatever, like that, now they're being invited in and being brought into the conversation as well.
And we all just get to scream at you for a week.
Yeah, exactly.
All right, so now that we've all played every single game that was at E3.
Yeah, that's exactly how
seen
it
every
went.
Single game.
Yeah, totally.
What games from E3 2016 are we most excited to play?
Oh, man.
Let's try to organize this a little bit here. We'll go down the line. I'll start. The Legend of Zelda, Breath of the Wild. Mm. Definitely very, very excited to play that.
Yeah.
And I was really hopeful that Nintendo wouldn't disappoint with their first HD Zelda game.
Yeah.
I think everyone was really, really excited about what they saw.
I think they crushed it.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Finally, like, I mean, it's almost like if you had asked me to describe my perfect video game, it would look very similar to that. You know, a real open world Zelda game where you're free to run around and explore the world at your own pace is exactly what I want to do.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yeah. Am I allowed to also say Zelda?
Yeah.
I mean, my number one.
Is it just one game, or are we?
No,
go down the list.
One at a time.
Are we saying the ones we played or the ones that were walking out of the show being excited about?
The games that were...
As Damon already stated, we played them all.
We played every single
game. That's true. Okay, that's
the games were at E3 this year that you were most excited to play.
Okay.
No, I mean, Zelda is my number one answer as well, and I was lucky enough to spend a big chunk of time with it, and it's as impressive as everybody's saying. Mm-hmm. I was also really, really impressed with God of War.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not like Marty, that's Marty's, the thesis of Marty's preview on IGN, hey, I've kind of been so-so on this franchise, and this new one's really, you know, turning my head. I feel the same way. I really respect Corey Balrog and the Santa Monica team for, like, they spent a lot of time talking about how they wanted to boil God of War. Like, what is God of War? Is it the fixed camera angle? Is it the,
the swingy slashy chains.
The swingy slashy chains, as they're called.
Yeah.
Like, is that what God of War is? And, Like, it's not that anymore.
A bald
like,
man screaming at everything.
Yeah, like the cameras move down over his shoulder. He doesn't have, you know, those chains anymore. Yeah. Combos are still there, but they've been way de-emphasized. And like, sort of being willing to like, it's God of War. It's still, you know, brutal melee combat, fast paced, you know, deep combo systems. But really tossing out everything that was non-essential, including like the Greek lore. Like that's the way that it's so funny to see that next to Gears of War. Like yeah. I'm really excited for both. But one's a much riskier sequel, and one's a very like play it safe sequel. Mm-hmm. So that's kind of an interesting thing to see them two side by side.
Mm-hmm. That's cool. Unsurprisingly, following the trend, The Legend of Zelda: Breath of the Wild. Getting my hands on that. That's a game about a plucky young man who wakes up in a cave.
nothing but his underwear.
Yeah, wakes up
in
his underwear.
Him in his underwear. In my
yeah.
Demo.
Yeah. And then he finds some clothes, some old clothes.
Play through the whole game naked.
Yeah. That's right. I remember that.
That's right.
That's right.
Yeah, we were playing together.
What, playing naked together?
Yeah, yes. Well, I mean,
Justin and Brandon were playing naked together.
Whenever I'm in a game demo, I just ask, I say, look, do you mind if I just pop my clothes off all right. real quick?
He's just like, I'm so uncomfortable.
Well, it is hot, Leifer, sometimes, yeah. But yeah, Breath of the Wild, getting my hands on that was a dream come true. Seeing Bloodstained, that's really exciting, walking out. I was like, oh! Wow, somebody made another Castlevania game.
And it was super under the radar, too. We were just at
the Microsoft booth.
Yeah, we were walking through the Microsoft booth, and there it was. It's like one station.
Bloodstained Ritual of the Night.
Yep.
Castlevania game in all but name.
Igarashi, right?
Yeah. It's Igarashi.
Well, and so that is to Castlevania as Mighty Number Nine is to Mega Man, except but, good.
Yeah, except hopefully good.
It was also so awesome. I was watching guys play it, and I was watching over the shoulder, and I peeked over in like a dark corner. Igarashi was standing over, like, under a pillar,
really?
Just watching people play quietly.
Oh, yeah, that's
like,
a real thing. Himself.
Just, like, stroking.
Yeah, no, he was smiling, though. No, he was just grinning.
Like, no, you can see that a lot. Like, if you look around E3 demo booths and look behind you, you'll often find, you know, a creator or a key creative mind behind that franchise watching how people are playing the game.
Yeah, yeah, I was playing Below again, and I look over my shoulder, and Nathan from Cappy was standing right there, and I was like, oh, I better not screw up.
So yeah,
you got your annual Below playthrough.
I got my Below playthrough.
Zelda Bloodstained.
Hold on. You've already said two now. Now it's Brandon's turn.
It's my turn.
Right. Jesus.
So there's this little game called Zelda Breath of the Wild.
Yep. Everyone is excited to play Zelda.
It's really cool. I mean, I know we like lauded it and threw a bunch of hype its way, and it deserves all of it because I got in there and I'm like, all right, what do we do for the demo? He's like, go do whatever you want to do. Mm-hmm. And I was like, okay. So I stuck my bow and arrow in the fire, and then I shot a tree and started a forest fire.
Yep.
And I tried to do it again and caught my bow on fire, and then I threw it, and then I ran.
Yeah.
And then we rolled a boulder down on an old man.
We did roll a boulder on an old man.
Justin fell off a tower and died?
No, I fell off a tower and grabbed myself on. But then I died.
Then you died. Okay, so I got the Zelda out of the way, right? We have to say Zelda. Outside of that, God of War as well. I think it's really, really cool. I mean, as a mythology nerd, like, I'm super down to visit the North's pantheon, right? And like see the Valkyries and Freya and like all the hidden stuff in the trailer looked really awesome.
Dude, did you see the hidden stuff? Did you see the IGN story on the hidden stuff?
Yeah,
did you see that?
Mm-mm. There's like a ghost lady like off screen.
No, but there's a giant...
There's Jormungandr, yeah.
There's at the end of that demo where, spoilers, the dragon flies by and the camera pulls back and shows the landscape. You see what you think is a river, but if you look closely, it is a huge, huge ass snake.
Yeah, it's got scales.
It's like you can see it moving.
It's slowly slithering along, and trees are like moving like this.
Oh, it's a Midgard serpent, yeah.
Yeah, it's Jormungandr, the serpent that, in Norse mythology, the serpent that circles the world kind of thing. Yeah.
Oh, that's so cool.
Yeah. But yeah, I cannot wait to like see how they represent all those cool little pieces of Norse mythology in the game. And then just to get out of the way, Horizon Zero Dawn looks amazing, as always. I can't wait to play that as well. Every time I see it, that game looks better.
No, that game looks awesome.
And I'm getting really hard hits of like Enslaved from it too, you know?
I like Deus Ex Go.
I mean, yeah, I'm totally on board. Make all your games go. Make Final Fantasy go.
Yep. Yeah, you know they are.
Really, you're kind of playing Final Fantasy Go now, aren't you? What is that? What is the one you're playing at your desk all the time that's Final Fantasy?
Oh, that's Final Fantasy Record Keeper. Okay. That's different. And it's not at my desk very much. I'm working very hard at my desk.
You work very
often.
He starts sweating.
I also saw Mankind Divided, Deus Ex Mankind Divided.
Yeah. Oh yeah,
I'm not super hyped for that game, but what I am excited for is this new Breach mode that they've gotten there, which is like an arcade style, like
I'm surprised Mankind Divided.
High score chasing mode.
Visually, I'm surprised that game doesn't look better. It's just, it's not very impressive.
Really?
But, like, I don't really get, like, the story looks really interesting and unique, and, I mean, it's Deus Ex. Like, I just trust that team implicitly to develop, to release a great game. I also, that's a game sort of like Below that I know will be great, but that's hard. Like, it's loud at E3.
Yeah.
You don't have that much time. And, like, I want to sit and read the data pads and get into people's personal business, and that's hard to do.
Yeah, like playing Below, it's this really atmospheric thing, and I'm on a beach walking, and some guy starts screaming in my ear. It's like, well, that sort of ruins the immersion.
Yeah.
Real quick before we move on, I loved it, and I know some people are down on it, and I don't understand why, but For Honor... I played it. It's super awesome. It's so great.
Their stage demo was weird and boring.
Yeah,
that
game's
dope as hell when you go hands-on. And I said that on the live GameScoop, too.
Cool. Yeah, I played both single-player campaigns that were at the show, the Vikings and the Knights one, and thoroughly enjoyed both of them.
Yeah, I just don't know if there's enough there for me. First of all, it was unveiled, it's multiplayer mode, and I'm not a big multiplayer gamer,
sure.
so that didn't grab me. Then they showed off single-player, and I guess I just need more than just, like, run around chopping guys with swords.
I am worried that it's going to be a little bit, it's going to be a little bit too much like Rise. But the combat system with its like parry,
it's three directions, and then they added a whole bunch of stuff into it as far as like knocking people back, and then there's unblockables, and then there's parrying, and then so there's it's actually fairly deep. It doesn't seem like it would be, but it's actually fairly deep once you get into it.
It may go down as being one of the better combat system, sword fighting systems in a video game.
Yeah,
ooh.
I mean not may, it totally will.
Yeah?
Yeah.
A game's tech that really impressed me was Days Gone.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
The like fluid wall of zombies.
Yeah, the zombie, not zombie
Sorry,
game, freaker game from
just the worst.
Sony Bend.
Yeah.
Sorry, Sony Bend.
Yeah, I know. Like the concept of that game is like nothing new, right? We've seen post-apocalyptic zombie game a million times, but yeah, just the way that the zombies like flooded the screen, just hundreds, thousands of them, never ending. I thought that looked really cool. It even looked really fun.
Yeah, it's a World War Z type zombie. Yeah. Where they just sort of funnel through the hallways and fill everything up. Also, that's Sam Whittier, right? The main character?
I don't know.
Who's Sam Whittier?
The actor? Is it Whittier?
Whitmer? But who is
the,
he?
The main character.
I don't know who that is.
The CG guy.
Whitwer.
Still don't know who that guy is.
You don't, from like Being Human and...
Hmm.
Really? All right.
Sorry.
Look it up. Check it out. I'm pretty sure that's him.
Did any of you play Batman VR?
No, but I heard really good things.
Aw, man.
Steve said, I felt like Batman, is what he said.
New Batman VR is the best.
Yeah?
Yeah, it's really, really cool. You do part of it as Bruce Wayne, and you know, you pick up the phone, and Vicki Vale's calling about the date that you went on, and then you play the piano, and then you go down into the Batcave, you put on the suit and have like a diagnostic and get to try out all your tools. And then the second half of the scenario is like a Batman half of the scenario where you're at a crime scene and it's all like detective mode and you're in VR trying to like spot the clues and recreate things and piece it together. And the incredible thing about that game, two things. First of all, it's made by Rocksteady. So it's like if anyone's skeptical, like come on, like they know, even if you didn't love Arkham Knight, like it's still...
I mean, yeah, but they don't have a big track record with VR games.
With VR, yeah.
No, but I'm just like, I was shocked that they were the developer. I was expecting an Arkham thing, but to know that they're, world that everyone was sure they were done with.
What was the other shooter, the shooter in Arkham City that was like
I don't remember
this. It was a downloadable game. And it was just the villains from the DC Universe.
Gotham City
Imposters.
I love that game.
So I was expecting, you know, a Batman VR thing's not surprising, but having Rocksteady behind it surprised me. And the other thing that surprised me was, like, that game, like, that's, like, the classic E3 thing, where I think it came in third in our E3 voting, our Game of the Show voting, just strictly through one person saw it and was like, you gotta go see Batman VR. Then another person saw it, and another person saw it. And by day three, like, by day one, no one was talking about it. And by day three, people were talking about it all over E3, which is like that's what you want your demo to do.
Yeah. Yep.
Well, the VR demo I really enjoyed was Star Trek Bridge Crew.
Yeah, that was cool.
I heard really good things. Like Sam was saying, that was the most fun he had. Sam Claiborne was saying that was most fun.
And the game is like totally janky and stupid.
Yeah, it's super stupid.
It's like you just press buttons, right?
Yeah.
You all work together.
Well, you can like and you have like very rudimentary controls, but you can like see your hands, and you can you're like you're
what do
there,
I do with these?
But they're on bridge with everyone else, and everyone's just like,
they're like turn to your left, and I'm like hello.
Star Trek rave party.
Sam told me that you guys had a dead body on the bridge and didn't realize until the end, or was that?
Well, we had one of our crew members.
One of our red shirts died, and they were just like, and then they were just laying in front of me the whole rest of the mission.
That's beautiful.
I mean, it's so weird because VR is seemingly such a like solo experience, right? Like you put it on and you're in your own little world. And I like that they're bringing it together. There was an old mobile not old, a couple years ago, a mobile game called Space Team. I don't know if you ever
Space
played
Team's
it.
Great.
But yeah, it's like four people download the app and you're all doing stuff together at the same time. Like, you have to hit your button before
it's
I can
like
hit my
button.
It's like
a non-VR version of Space Bridge Crew.
Yeah, and it's really cool to bring like those party games into the
But the thing about that virtual space is there is a human player, like someone in the room with me, sitting, when I had my headset on, they were sitting at the station to my left. I was the helmsman and they were the engineer. But in real life, they weren't to my left.
Yeah.
Like, that's they were cool. in a different part, a yeah. different area. Yeah. And so it's like in this virtual space, you put the headset on and you immediately like, oh, he's over there and they're over there. But I could hear
that's
them
why
talking in real
Whoa.
Life.
That's so weird.
Yeah, Star Trek Bridge Crew is meant to be played online yeah. with other yeah. people. So when you're actually in the same room and they're over there, but you hear them coming from behind you, yeah, it's very disorienting and yeah. confusing, actually.
Yeah. And like, I actually really liked it, too.
Then I am also excited for Dishonored 2. Although I thought the demo they showed at the Bethesda conference was a little bland.
Yeah, same as Deus Ex. It's like I have every confidence that game's going to be great, but the E3 demo was maybe a little iffy.
Yeah. And finally, I'm very excited to play The Last Guardian.
Oh, yeah.
It even has a release date.
Yep.
It's got more than one bird dog.
Yep. Yeah, more than bird dogs.
Multiple bird
dogs.
Or
is it bird's dog?
Bird's dog. Let's say bird's dog, just because it's fun.
Speaking of The Last Guardian, let's check in with the listeners.
Hey, listeners.
This is Michael. He emailed us at the email address, gamescoop@IGN.com, just like you can. And he says, with the release of The Last Guardian inching closer, maybe, whether it is received well or not, and he uses weather as in our weather system, what do you think Sony will do with Team Eco?
Oh.
After so many years in development and money spent for one game, while Naughty Dog...
They'll blast him into the sun.
I mean, he has a good point. While Naughty Dog was able to release four Uncharted games and The Last of Us in that time...
They'll ironically put them on the next Shenmue.
Worth it to keep Team Eco around?
Last Guardian 2.
Yeah, they'll put them on
second to Last Guardian.
Yeah, but second to Last Guardian, that's pretty good. Just put them on a leash. Like, how much of that, like, why would you shutter a whole team for the failing of, you know, someone at the top? Like, there was a group of bosses that allowed this situation to come to pass, and it's not the other 40 team members' fault, in my judgment.
Yeah, it's not like Vicky the animator is responsible for this game not coming out. Yeah. And they have a track record with coming out with amazing games, you know? Like, look at the stuff they did before. So why wouldn't you just give them a new direction?
I don't think you fire the team that made Shadow of the Colossus for taking too long.
Yeah.
Well, they did take too long, undeniably.
They did, sure they
like,
did.
Like, there's almost no chance that The Last Guardian can be profitable for Sony.
I think I think that would be a silly move to just react that way.
Also, that game comes out in October, the same month as Battlefield 1, Titanfall 2.
I'm not worried about that. I mean, they're high.
Gears of War 4. Mm-hmm. I don't know how that game's going to sell.
Yeah, but I don't see it as... I see those three games as being afraid of one another, and then Last Guardian is off doing its own thing.
Yeah, I mean...
I'm talking about what is the NPD top 10 for October going to look like.
Oh, yeah, no, sure. Not Last Guardian number one.
If you have X amount of money, and that's your video game money, like Last Guardian, you know, unless you're a hardcore follower and a fan, that's probably not in your...
That's a good point. Last Guardian, that's a great point. I've never even thought about how that game's going to sell. Mm-hmm. I'm relatively confident that it's going to be an excellent game, but like Eco and Shadow of the Colossus, they didn't sell. Nobody bought those games. Sony might be...
Are these little indie gems the loss leaders for Sony, you think?
Yeah.
I think it'll do well, just in the strength of being a console exclusive near Christmas and in a season that's not crowded with other console exclusives. There's 40 million PlayStations out there. Yeah. I think you're going to have plenty of sales. Sure. I don't think you're going to make your money back. I think you're correct, Justin.
Yeah. How many Guardians would have to sell in order to make
it? I can't even imagine.
All 40 million.
But even with that, I think what you do is what Justin said at the beginning. You put them on a leash and you have them make something less
ambitious. You actually get so easy, though. You actually get so easy.
Well, yeah, it's easy for me to do here sitting in my chair, absolutely. But
here's what you do, make your game faster.
Backseat game developer.
Exactly.
I did my part.
Yeah. But I mean, what else are you going to do? Are you going to shut down
the game?
No, they're going to make something else. It's probably going to be very good. They're talented people. They'll be fine.
Just make a great game in less time.
Yeah.
Duh.
I don't know. I think Michael might have a point that maybe at long last, when Last Guardian is released and it's a moderate success, maybe it makes more sense for Sony to take the talented members of that team, put them elsewhere.
Sure.
Yeah. I have a breaking
rather
team.
Than just be like, all right, what do you guys want to do next? Last Guardian 2? No? Something totally different? All right, well, See you in 10 years?
You're right about that, Damon, but sometimes breaking up teams has a great effect, like what happened after BioShock and all these people going off and making these interesting projects. But sometimes breaking up teams has the effect of what happened when Sega brought all their teams back together and suddenly made nothing but crap for 3 years. You know, breaking up teams is a very risky proposition, sure, even if the people inside them are talented.
Oh, yeah, I forgot to shout out We Happy Few. That game's dope.
And also, cool too. Also, we forgot to talk about Battlefield 1 and Titanfall 2.
You're stoked about this?
Yeah, I'm totally stoked. I played Battlefield 1 for probably an hour, and the entire time I'm just like looking at the mud on my gun and like the reflections off stuff. That game is gorgeous. Mm. But to be fair, I was running off a 1080 at the time, like a GTX 1080, which is top of the line. So
is it weird that those are two EA first-person shooters and they come out a week apart?
Oh, that is crazy, yeah.
Yeah,
that's what I said.
Also, grappling hooks, man. Again, I love it. Like, just throw a grappling hook in every first-person shooter forever.
I'm excited to play the single-player campaign in Titanfall 2.
Yeah, me too. Also, the robot is named BT.
Yeah.
As soon as I heard that, I turned around and, like, screamed in Damon's face. I was like, the robot's name is BT.
Yeah.
And he's like, what does that have anything to do
with? That's me.
And I was like, that's me. Yeah. Yeah, I love that.
It me.
When that soldier's falling and he screams BT and the robot reaches his hand out and catches him, I fell in love instantly. Yeah.
Like, he's catching me.
Yeah, exactly.
Absolutely.
All right, now with your E3 2016 trend report is Justin Davis. Justin,
what?
Take it away.
What?
I thought you were keeping track on the trends.
Grizzly Old Dads, grappling hooks.
Grappling hooks are a great trend.
Robo Buddies.
The ones that we actually made a video of were Robot Buddies. Because there's Robot Buddies all over the place now in ReCore and
Titanfall 2.
Titanfall 2. Yep. And it's a little bit of a cheat, but Lego Force Awakens. There was the Robinson VR game. You have a Robo Buddy. Mm-hmm. You have a Robo Drone in Call of Duty and Watch Dogs 2. And Ghost Recon Wildlands.
Yeah.
And Detroit.
Also a lot of beards this year.
Well, you are a Robo Buddy.
We made both those, and we made beards. We made the beards of E3 and the Robo Buddies of E3.
But it really
both
was.
Both those videos bombed.
All right,
they can't all be hits.
You can't win them all. No. But yeah, it was the return of Grizzled Old Dads, right? Like, you had Kratos, and then I instantly misremembered the other one.
Marcus Phoenix
is back. And then there was one other one.
I mean, the other two really high-profile ones, but just like the aging up of like video game characters.
Lots of dads.
Yep, lots of dads. Bearded dads.
We all have very high praise for the new Zelda.
Yeah.
But what did you think about Nintendo's approach to E3 this year? It was the only game they brought, and their whole booth was decked out for this one game.
Yeah, no, they're screwed.
Yeah.
Zelda's going to win all kinds of awards, but Nintendo, the company, gigantic trouble.
The same study that I was talking about earlier that found that EA got the most press, Nintendo is really struggling, even though they have this big new Zelda game that everyone loves. They're really struggling to even get the media attention.
They didn't show off the NX. Like, it really rides on, you know, they're going to have to show it off soon, within a handful of months now, right? Like, they have to. And like that, like what more can I say before the NX comes out? Either it's going to come out and be something we believe in, or they're going to reveal it and it's not. Like, I don't know. Like, it's hard to say too much before then.
They're gonna show the hardware, and I think I suspect what they're waiting on is to be able to throw a bunch of software at a Sony style as well. And I think they finally wised up to that in the last generation after getting pummeled about a lack of software on the Wii U. They're going to come out and try to throw a launch lineup at us that just warms our hearts and makes us do a 180 toward what Nintendo's up to. I think that's a good strategy.
But where does that happen?
Where does that happen?
Yeah, Gamescom, TGS?
I don't think they're
going to have to hold their own event.
I honestly think they don't care about the scheduling. Yeah. I really don't. And they've been on that track for a long time, so I'm not too worried
about that.
Yeah,
but that's what got them in this position in the first place.
I know.
That they're not pandering, but like they know their audience, they know their demographic, and if you like Nintendo, they know they got you anyway. So. Yeah.
I mean, Nintendo consistently, at least over the last 4 or 5 years, has just gotten it so wrong and had these weird, and like I understand game development's incredibly complicated and hard. It's like trying to hit a bullseye on a dartboard that's a mile away and moving all around. But it's like, they like, here's what you do. Have one giant game every year, like Zelda this year, Mario next year, Metroid after that, and then every 3 months here's Mario Kart. Here's Mario Party. Here's, you know, a new Donkey Kong Country. Here's, like, just dole that
stuff
out.
SNES Remix.
And here's SNES Remix, and here's a new WarioWare. Like, we brought F-Zero back.
And early in the Wii U, they were doing that, and then it just sort of disappeared. We got fewer and fewer and fewer games out.
Yeah, it's strange because they have the catalog, right? Like, they have the licenses. They could put out a good game every quarter and a huge game every year and be totally fine, but that's not what's happening.
Well, I, th- I think they did pull off the good game every quarter. I don't want to be unfair to them. Until about a year ago, they were doing that, and then that just stopped happening.
And to their credit, Nintendo probably had the longest line at E3.
Yeah.
Just the line for...
It's because they reconstructed Hyrule Castle.
The line of people waiting to get in to play Zelda was insane.
That booth was so cool.
People were waiting like 3 hours to play that game.
Yep.
But like as much as like I already said, I'm very excited about that game. But it looks a generation behind a lot of the other games we saw at E3 this year. Behind God of War,
it was very jarring. Just the way my schedule worked is I saw Zelda and God of War back to back, and like you couldn't have a bigger like just gap in presentation.
And so like it makes me worried. Like the rumors we heard is that Nintendo wanted to get their next console NX on par with PS4 and Xbox One.
And then,
but now
Neo and Scorpio
Neo
are like,
and
well,
Scorpio are there. It's like, well,
come on,
they're still gonna be.
And that's the thing is, I look at Zelda and I think like, well, that game looks beautiful, right?
It
looks like a painting.
Yeah.
And so part of me feels like it's okay to say like, well, it doesn't have to be graphically, you know, on par because it looks gorgeous. However, it's sort of hypocritical of me to say that because I just got done saying like that's the mindset that got them here now. It's like we don't have to be, you know, super high quality graphics or really high fidelity. We can be unique and have personality and all that, and that's what our users want. But it's not carrying them through anymore.
Nintendo can't compete on power, and if they try, their competitors are going to eat their lunch. That's why the Wii was such a success. Was it competed across other vectors of gaming?
That's true. We do have some other new little tidbits about the NX, and these come from GameStop executives. I don't know if you guys saw the quote this week. This comes from an investor call. One executive did confirm that it will have physical media.
Yep.
There were some rumors about it, that it would be a digital-only console, right? Yeah. The quote is, it will have physical media. We will play a role in it. Our pre-owned business will also play a role. So we're excited about that.
GameStop.
They're still planning on selling used NX games.
The rumor is carts, set of discs.
So they were asked about that, and they did not confirm or deny, but commenting on the possibility of there being cartridges, GameStop said, the only difference between discs and cartridges would be on the refurbishment and pre-owned side, and actually cartridges are much simpler to refurbish and repackage. So there's somewhat a little bit of an advantage if it went that direction.
Yeah, so if you scratch them, it doesn't matter.
Even now, on the front page of IGN.com at this very moment, though not at the moment perhaps as you're watching, but the moment we're filming this, is our NX Rumors page where somebody on NeoGAF found some trademark filings he's comparing trademark filings for games that are on Wii U, where they specifically mention game discs. Trademark filings for games that are on 3DS, which specifically mention game cartridges. Mm-hmm. And a trademark filing for The Legend of Zelda Breath of the Wild that says game discs and game cartridges.
Yes.
So, which, since that's a Wii U and NX targeted platform. So cartridges, now that word has a negative connotation now, but it shouldn't because the way...
No, it's like an SD card.
Yeah,
like,
now the way that... It used to be that, that they were...
Don't think of like an N64 cartridge, right?
Yeah, we used to think they were... You know, they used to be more expensive, more complicated to make, cost more, and could hold less. None of those things are particularly true, at least not to the degree that they once were anymore.
Right.
It doesn't cost nearly as much to get tons of storage out of them, so I don't think we need to be frightened.
Yeah, I mean, in the PS1 era, it was like, I think, 5 cents to press a disc, and it was like $10 to make a cart. Like, it was just insane.
Yeah, and
it killed that console.
We're going to have a much, much more favorable coefficient on that end for Nintendo. I'm sure it's not as cheap as making optical discs still, but the capacity versus cost has gone down for that kind
and
of
it game. Helps with load times, it helps with all kinds of stuff.
Yep, and it helps if you have a portable console. That's a hybrid, like we keep hearing about.
Yeah,
the ability to take it with you. And go.
I think that's what it is. I think it's a console and a handheld in one. And
I still like the idea of
disc and carts.
Finally, some good news for Nintendo. GameStop execs are apparently very bullish on the system. The quote is: "Should the new NX perform only slightly better than the Wii U, it would still generate $2.7 billion of incremental sales over the first 2 years. Should it perform at even half the level of the Wii, it would generate $7.5 billion in incremental sales over that time frame."
God, the Wii just destroyed the Wii U, didn't it?
Oh, no, the Wii is one of the best-selling video game platforms of all time. Nintendo would commit murder for half the sales of the Wii.
Aww.
Yeah, it's an extraordinarily high number, even at half. I mean, it's...
Yeah. Picturing Reggie as Negan from The Walking
Dead. Yeah, absolutely. No, it's an incredible number. The popularity of the Wii and the DS and the fact that they coexisted, they owned the world for a few years there.
But the takeaway is that I don't think the NX has to do particularly that much better than the Wii U for Nintendo to stay in business.
Yeah. Right?
So it's not like they're like risk of like going out of business.
No, I don't think Nintendo's going out of business. They have more money than God. Even now, they're diversifying across a lot of places that make sense for them to diversify. They're getting into the toy business. They're getting into the amusement park business. They're getting into a lot of places where
still
Nintendo
has mobile games coming.
You've got the mobile games coming. You've got the licensing of these beloved characters. Nintendo is not going to go bankrupt. Not for a very, 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 very long time.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm worried their video game audience is never coming back. I mean, they lost them. They lost them to iOS and Android.
I think that there is some validity to the fear. I don't think it's predetermined, but I do think that your perspective on that has merit.
As a company, they'll be fine. You know, they'll be fine for decades. But
their audience grew up. They weren't able to grab the new young audience. They don't have current 10-year-olds.
Yeah, I mean, Damon, you see it. You have nieces and nephews. We all have nieces and nephews that don't know or care about Nintendo.
Like, they're almost banking on the nostalgia of us, right? The 30-year-olds now who grew up with our NES.
It's not to say they can't recapture that audience. Marvel and DC did it.
Yeah.
Like, when I was growing up, my dad had grown up with superheroes. Mm-hmm. I didn't really grow up with the same superheroes as him.
Yeah.
But now every kid loves Iron Man and Thor.
And same thing with Star Wars, for example, I think. But another thing that I think we're forgetting, because we're a slightly different age than another group, we talk about nostalgia. Wii and DS are going to be nostalgic for an entire new generation of consumers who are just now coming into their maximum purchasing power. If Nintendo can grab two
that's a marketing
huge... No, but I mean, you have these two immense former Nintendo audiences out there who just now are getting old enough to buy their own stuff. If Nintendo figures out the right way to hook them, they're going to make a fortune.
All right, it is time once again for Video Game 20 Questions. This is, of course, where my panel has 20 yes or no questions to guess this week's mystery game, which comes from Adam Purnell in the UK.
All right.
What's up, Adam?
He can't hear you.
Oh.
Gentlemen.
Not yet.
Not yet. He will, though.
The questioning may begin.
Does your character have any facial hair?
Can you hold things? I love that this is your go-to.
No facial hair. No facial hair on the main character.
It's not a Mario game, guys.
Was this game released after January 1st, 2000?
Yes.
Okay. Is this a... I forget what the... we always have like five that we get through first. Did this game come to the last generation of consoles?
Which generation? That confuses me. Yeah, but like what was that?
Xbox 360, PS3.
Wii.
I'm surprised you count console generations that way.
Really?
Like seventh, I can't keep track of that.
No. I mean, it's not gonna, it's gonna be a moot point.
He's very biblical, even under the seventh generation.
No.
Okay.
Okay, so it's probably newer. It's probably this current generation.
Uh-oh. Now we're in a gray area again.
Was it like, maybe it's like a PC game that came out in those years.
I don't know. He's making sounds over there. I'm not sure.
Or a handheld that's weird, something that blurs the...
Yeah, in retrospect, I would have rephrased that question.
Perhaps you could and Damon won't count it.
Oh, Damon will count it. Damon counted when Justin asked if you can hold things in a game.
In my defense... Afterwards, we couldn't come up with any on the spot. We came up with dozens of games where you don't hold things.
That's
good
true.
Point.
The Witness.
I mean, Twitter helped a lot.
Yeah,
though.
Yep.
Yeah. All right. So you know it's after 2000. You don't have facial hair, and no, it did not come to those consoles.
Okay. Did it? Okay. Is this primarily associated? Is this thought of generally as being a PC game?
No.
Oh.
All right. Is this
mobile?
So yeah, it's associated with handheld.
Well, either that, I mean, Xbox 360 was 2005, which means we've got 5 years of Xbox. We've got...
Could have been original Xbox or PS2 or GameCube.
Yeah, which is why I wanted to rephrase it,
Well, okay, what do you want to rephrase?
It's too late. Yeah. We'll get back to you in a sec.
All right, does this game appear on handhelds?
Yes.
Okay. So DS, PSP, Vita...
Angry Birds.
DS, Game Boy Advance, PSP, Vita...
Do we count mobile as handhelds? No, right?
Yeah. I wouldn't.
Okay, I would not.
I would consider those two different platforms.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, so Game Boy... So it's either Game Boy Advance, PSP, Vita, or...
DS.
Or DS, most likely, or 3DS, yeah. Yeah, or technically Neo Geo Pocket Color, I guess.
But it's not going to be Neo Geo Pocket Color. Or the Wonder Swan.
Huh? Or, no, I don't think there's still Wonder Swan in
2000. Someday we should do a special Video Game 20 Questions just for Jared. Just with games that Jared would know.
A Jared edition.
Yeah.
No.
That's going to be a new thing. I'm going to come up with a very special Jared edition of
You're going to crush me because people give me way too much credit on this stuff.
It's a non-localized Japanese exclusive.
Yeah.
Is this... Is this game considered, let's say, is it a platformer?
No.
Is this game associated with Nintendo handheld?
Yes.
All right, so there we go.
DS or 3DS or GBA?
Most likely. And is it's this not a game, does this game feature recognizable Nintendo characters?
Soft, yes.
Advance Wars.
Be Advance Wars could be.
It's recognizable as the wiggle word in there. Yeah. How recognizable is someone from WarioWare or?
Excellent.
I'm a big fan of Orbulon and WarioWare.
Ooh, okay.
Maybe a Pokemon.
How? Could be. Oh well, yeah, I guess. Well, Pikachu's a Nintendo character.
Is it considered like a company?
Okay. I mean that relationship's so incestuous.
Not a platformer.
That I figure.
Which
that
is why I was thinking RPG.
Yeah.
Yep. All right, so we can start going. Yeah, you mentioned Advance Wars, Elite Beat Agents, things like that.
BT, you're up. Big time.
Big time.
Busy. Yep. So do you want to try genres? Try to get it down there, maybe?
Yeah.
Whatever he wants.
Well, that was to the field, but I have to look either the left or the right. Otherwise, I'm asking the audience.
Yeah. Maybe we should ask.
What should we do next?
Is it? Would you call it an RPG?
No.
Okay. Yeah.
So it's not.
Is this, a DS game?
Yes.
Okay.
So that's 10.
So this strategy game.
We're good. We got this.
No, I would not say no.
Okay, so it's not Advance Wars.
Or Fire Emblem. Not Fire Emblem, not Pokemon, not Advance Wars, not a Mario platformer.
Not a platformer.
But it is on DS.
Could be
WarioWare. It does have Mario characters, but we...
Oh, it has Nintendo
soft,
characters. Nintendo
soft
characters, which strongly implies it's first party.
Yeah.
But it could be a Sega...
Like a crappy Camelot game.
He wouldn't
or
do that. Damon wouldn't do that to us. He might do that to
he
us.
He might do that
is
to us.
Is it a sports game?
Oh,
is it a sports game?
No.
Okay, sorry, I went out of turn.
That's all right. No, that was a good question.
Maybe Donkey? Well, that's a platformer.
Could be Rhythm Heaven, too. You want to try it for a music game, maybe?
Yeah.
What else is on DS?
Yeah. I'm trying to go through
the catalog. Is it a music game?
No.
Okay, so it's not Elite Beat Agents, Rendon, or Rhythm Heaven.
It's not a rhythm. It's not a platformer. It's not an RPG. It's not a strategy game.
Genre, not a sports game.
Genre is a trap.
Yeah.
It might not be a trap. That might be a good way to narrow it.
Ooh, it could be Star Fox. No, that would be recognizable characters, definitely.
I mean, the only one, what other genres can you think of? A fighting game, but what, Smash?
That's on DS.
Yeah, also that would not be a soft recognizable characters. That's their entire roster. I mean, we could waste a question on first party Nintendo, but I don't know if we want to do that.
No, because the sports
thing. Someone's probably screaming at their
next question.
We're thinking here. Yeah.
We also have an audience to consider.
Welcome to the 2-hour edition of Game Scoop.
Yes. Okay.
It's
on a very special scoop.
A DS game. You don't have facial hair.
No facial hair. Yeah. He thought a long time about facial
hair.
He did.
So are you a furry creature?
Not a platformer.
Not a sports game. Not a strategy game. Not an RPG.
Does Box Boy have facial hair?
Boxboy's not first party. Well, it doesn't have Nintendo characters in
it. Yeah.
Yep, you guys are going to have to help with the heavy lifting because I'm out of my element right now.
I played every big DS game, and
Well, maybe it's not big. It could be a downloadable title.
Yeah, but even... Whatever, Jared. I played all the...
Japanese import only. That's not a question.
Was this game developed by a Japanese company?
Yes.
Okay.
I don't know what that does for us.
Yeah, I was wondering about that.
Nails down where Nintendo is.
Well, I mean, it rules out whatever retro.
Yeah, rules out retro.
Did they make any DS games?
Man, what do we do? What are we wrong here? Do you play as a human in this game?
Yes.
Okay.
It's 15. 5 more to go. Okay.
Do you play as Princess Peach?
Nope.
I thought I had it.
You would have had it, but that's a recognizable character. Yeah. It's not a strategy game. It's not Pikmin.
I guess I burned a question, but I thought it was Super Princess Peach.
Yeah, that was
great. Was that a GBA game?
Was there?
No, that was a DS game.
Okay.
Yeah.
Was there any games with NES on the DS?
No. Mm-hmm. Plus, those are RPGs.
Those would count as very recognizable characters.
Is he?
Doesn't count as a question.
Yeah,
are we being stupid?
I think it was Smash Brothers.
Are we being stupid?
I mean, a little bit.
Are we just on the?
A little bit, but yeah. This is definitely, okay. Look, this is not an obscure game.
Thank you. I'm glad that we're not just
so it's not an obscure game. We're just being
big
silly.
Old dummies.
It's a freebie.
It's a freebie there.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Do you want to try to narrow it down between GBA and DS or not?
We know it's DS.
We know for sure it's
DS? I asked if it was DS.
Oh, I missed that.
Okay. You've been sitting right here.
You know it's DS.
Okay, I was thinking hard about Box Boy.
Was it Drill Dozer? Drill Dozer was GBA.
Drill Dozer was GBA. That'd be a great one. Ooh, good pick there. Good deep cut.
Thank you.
Drill Dozer is GBA. What do we got? It's not an RPG. What's our strategy? Not a platformer. So it could be a puzzle game. Puzzle game.
What was their version of Meteos? Well, was Meteos published by Nintendo?
I don't remember.
It was, and then there was the Disney Meteos.
Yeah.
Is it a puzzle game?
Yes.
Okay. Ooh.
Three questions left.
Ooh, okay, it's a puzzle. There's a lot of Nintendo pads of puzzle games on handheld. Oh, there's Picross.
Oh yeah, Picross, Meteos. Okay.
Cooking Mama.
Yeah. There's Cooking Mama. That's true. There's Cooking Mama.
Cooking Mama, but that doesn't have Nintendo characters in it. Well, I like where your head's at.
They're recognizable. I mean, she's.
Yeah, but they're not Nintendo characters.
Is she not a Nintendo character?
No.
Is that Namco?
Majesco published them back then. Okay. But it's not a Nintendo franchise either way. How do we narrow it down?
Oh, I don't know.
Three
puzzle
games left.
Puzzle game.
Puzzle game on DS.
Yeah.
You are a human.
You are a human. Oh wait, that's huge.
No facial hair.
That's why I'm thinking. Yeah.
Yeah. Picross, you don't play as a person. But that's not.
There are no humans in Tetris. Unless we're all Tetris.
You are the Tetris.
Well, that'd be inside you all along.
Picross plays a person. So, man, we're doing something real silly here. Oh, I feel like
it's time to bring it home.
Letting the audience down.
Is it a puzzle game where you're manipulating or move? Is it the type of puzzle game where you're moving blocks or shapes around?
Yes.
I mean, what are we missing here?
So that eliminates. I asked that question because that eliminates any kind of like any other genres of puzzle games. Mm. So it's Meteos, right? Probably, or Tetris.
You want to try? But again, do you play as a human in Meteos anywhere?
I mean, I don't know, man. You got a better guess?
No, but I feel like I'm missing something. Like, there's something on this tip
Someone
of my
at home
mind.
Is having an aneurysm
they're
right
just
now.
Screaming at us right now.
Two questions left.
We're tired
we
from
either
E3.
Guess it or let it go.
All right, well, we have to try. What's
what was that? The Sega Rum Buddies game or whatever it was called.
Sega Rum Buddies.
But that means it's not like Hotel Dusk or any of those types of puzzle games.
Right,
that's why I asked the block.
No, it's a good question. It's a good question, but I don't remember you playing a person in Picross.
How good was Hotel Dusk, by the way?
Oh, that game's great.
I know, I'm sorry.
You hold the DS fine.
All right, Justin,
I give you my vote. Can you get it in two questions?
What's your vote?
I'm giving it to you. I have faith in you.
I mean, okay, so was this game, was the DS entry in this game the latest in a long-running popular franchise?
No.
Something new.
19. Yes.
Something new. Why am I not thinking of this?
Maybe you play as a person.
I don't think we've ever gotten. I've never gotten here.
You want to try it?
Are we allowed to ask the 20th question? Or
well, your 20th question is it Meteos?
Yeah.
No.
Okay. What did we miss?
I'm afraid
you don't play as a human.
Yeah. Please point out the human in Meteos.
I mean, I don't know, man.
A Nintendo DS game.
Uh huh.
Where you play as a human.
Uh huh.
With no facial hair.
Uh huh.
And you do some block manipulation.
You're really building this up.
Professor Layton.
Oh. You do block manipulation.
You do all sorts of puzzles in there.
Mm.
What are you talking about? That's what I was like, yeah.
I'm gonna.
Oh right.
I'm gonna file a grievance. Not Nintendo characters.
That's level 5.
Published by Nintendo.
They're not Nintendo characters.
Soft. Yes.
Soft.
I would never consider Layton.
No, those
Nintendo
are level 5.
Not Nintendo characters. No block manipulation.
Soft, yes, he's only ever appeared on Nintendo platforms.
Oh, yeah,
that's not true.
From our line of questioning.
He's on the App Store.
Okay, now, okay.
Well, but even so.
From our line of questioning, I never would have gotten to Layton. From
really?
That. Yeah.
What do you mean, from your line of questioning or from the answers?
From the line of questioning that we went down.
Why didn't I ask if he wears a hat?
Yeah.
No,
I kept saying, you're human, you have
no missing piece.
You have no facial hair.
No.
It is a puzzle game on DS.
No, I think of that as a level 5 game and just never would have thought about it.
You solve all sorts of puzzles. Somewhere in there, you definitely do some block manipulation, for sure.
No, because I even
but that's not
you do matchstick manipulation.
You gotta move the cars around in the parking lot, rearrange them.
Yeah, there are some block manipulation, but it's not that kind of game.
Should have asked if he was
that's
a
in there. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think. Yeah, I
just like when Brandon asked, like, is it part of this console generation? I was like, no, but it came out in that time period.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm filing a grievance. We're gonna send this up to the top.
Okay.
What do you think, listeners?
To the professor himself.
That's fair. That's fair. Let us know in the comments of this video. And on Twitter at @GameZero, whether or not you think
if this
I
is all
answered,
a ruse.
Whether or not you think I answered their questions fairly and accurately.
I think if I remember my phrasing correctly, I said recognizable Nintendo characters.
And I said soft yes.
Soft yes, but
Leighton. I totally think of Leighton as a Nintendo character.
Sure.
Published by Nintendo, only appearing on Nintendo on Nintendo hardware.
I don't even think they're published by Nintendo anymore. The first one was
this game. Yeah. So we can you even name the full title of this game?
Professor Leighton and the Curious Village.
Okay.
Yeah, I know my Professor Leighton. Me not asking if you wear a hat is like buying a lottery ticket for 360 days of the year and then saying, nah, not today. And then that's when your numbers come up.
Yes.
Oh, that's great.
I thought when you're a human with no facial hair, I thought that would be the giveaway. A puzzle, especially when it's a puzzle game where you're a human and there's no facial hair.
Yeah. Well, you know, you're not on the couch.
Look, I am not here to trip you guys up. I'm not here to like try and stump you. So, listeners, do let me know if you think I was unfair with there. I try to answer the questions as fairly and as accurately as I can.
Well, I was thinking that. Scribble, they're Super Scribble Knots for a while because Link appears in that.
Has Leighton never been in Smash Brothers?
Link,
no. What's that? He should be, though.
Oh, he should That'd be. That'd be amazing. He'd be a guest character, though.
Yeah.
Because he's not Nintendo.
No.
All right. That brings us to the end of another Game Scoop. Everybody have a great weekend. Thank you, Justin. Thank you, Jared. Thank you, Brandon. My name is Damon. Remember, you can always reach us at the email address gamescoop@IGN.com. I said that in the wrong order, so now it sounds really redundant when I say, my name is Damon, this is IGN Game Scoop. All right.
Hello, friends. This is Mark Nell, executive producer of the Table Read podcast, where imagination meets performance. As we wrap up an incredible season one, we want to take a moment to express our heartfelt gratitude to each and every one of you who tuned in and supported us on this amazing journey. Season one was nothing short of extraordinary. We delved into captivating scripts that transported us to worlds beyond our imagination, thanks to the brilliant writers who delivered these works. But what really brought these stories to life were the talents of our amazing actors. But wait, the excitement doesn't end there. As we bid farewell to Season 1, we are thrilled to announce the launch of Season 2. Get ready for more gripping narratives, more unforgettable characters, and more mesmerizing performances that will keep you on the edge of your seat. We have some big surprises coming. The Force will definitely be with you. So stay tuned, stay engaged, and most importantly, stay excited. From all of us at the Table Read Podcast, thank you. And let's make Season 2 even more memorable together.